Caroline Willie and D-Mace chase in for Caroline today. 102.5, 106.3, the game. Here on this Monday, Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Let's say hello to Mitch Light from The Athletic. Mitch, it's been a while. How are you?
You stole my words, Chase. I was going to say, Chase, it's been a while. I'm doing well. Hope you guys are doing great.
Doing fantastic. So let's start, before we get into the tournament, with Vanderbilt. They mutually agree to part ways with Jerry Stackhouse, so they now have an opening for the men's basketball coach. And I know I'm not going to be the first person to say this name, and I know that they're probably not going to entertain this name, but I feel like they should call Will Wade. What do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting. I would have said, how do I say this? Like, before the recent the climate change in college athletics with NIL and all that, I would have said 0% chance. I'll say 3% chance now. I mean, I know what you're saying. I just think the baggage, the behavior, you know, I just think it's too much. I mean, the guy wins, won at VCU, he won at LSU. Obviously, he's winning at McNeese State. There's the obvious connections, you know, grew up in Nashville, season ticket holder and all that. I would not say 0% chance, but I'd be very, very surprised.
Is that just because you mentioned the baggage, and we all know that the baggage is there, but don't you think that the way that the landscape of college sports has changed, that while it might be uncomfortable for Candace Story Lee and Vanderbilt to go down a road like that, that they almost have to maybe explore it just because the way things are? Because, look, he's not going to be at McNeese State forever. He's going to get another shot.
Right. I totally see what you're saying, and I like a lot of situations like this, not just Vanderbilt, any school. I like to put myself, you know, if I were the decision maker, would I do this? It's easy for us to sit here on talk radio, or you're talking to your buddy, oh, they should do this. But it's making the decision. If I were the decision maker, I don't think I would do it. Doesn't mean another decision maker won't do it, or different set of circumstances, you know, and we don't know all of the entire situation with what happened. We think, you know, we read stuff. That's why schools hire search firms, really, you know, to figure out all the dirt. And this is like all hypothetical, but like if someone commits a crime that you think is pretty egregious and they change the law a year later, they still committed that crime. You know, still did things that other schools weren't doing. And you can argue, oh, athletes should have been paid. Oh, I get that part of the argument, but he still did some pretty egregious things by all accounts that his competitors weren't doing and gave him a competitive advantage. So, you know, we don't need to spend the whole time on Will Wade. It's sure. It's a complex situation. I understand the arguments for, but I would not do it. And I don't think, like I said, I'd be very surprised if Vanderbilt did it.
But Mitch, don't you, like Chase said, whether it's Will Wade or someone else, I think Vandy is in a position where they need a splash hire. They need someone
that can
sort of galvanize, you know, that program once again. They need someone that can go out there and get those recruits. They only need one or two guys to come in here, and that can change the fortune, at least for the first year. But they're going to have to do something to jumpstart this program once again.
Yeah, and one thing I was going to your point, too, one thing I was going to say with Chase's point, like, one thing about this, and let's preface this by saying, whether it's college football, college basketball, You don't know how things are going to turn out. Like, we've learned as fans of sports that we think we know, like, what's a good fit at schools, and so we don't know. But I'm saying that to say that this is a very good, there's a very strong pool, in my opinion, of mid-major coaches, not just for Vanderbilt, for all the openings. I think when you go back and look at Vanderbilt's last two rounds of hires, I don't think the candidate pool was as good. So to kind of what Chase was saying, like, if let's say you just – not that you should hire Will Wade because you don't like the other candidates, but it makes it easier not to hire him if there are other strong candidates, if my double negatives work there. But then, Derek, what you said, like, I just think they need a good coach. I mean, I don't think you make the hire necessary to make a splash. You rejuvenate the program by winning games. So you hire the guy who is going, in your opinion, going to do that. Now, there are certain things now with the climate of college basketball where – quick fixes are easier. So when if you're Candace Lane, you're going through this process, do you lean more towards someone with more connections and who's recruited the South or has been active in the portal at their previous stops. You know, those are things that you really have to consider more now than you did 5, 6, 7 years ago. But again, I think there's a really strong candidate pool out there, and it's just you got to find the right fit for Vanderbilt.
We'll talk with Mitch Light discussing the NCAA tournament, Vanderbilt basketball, so forth and so on. Now, Mitch, looking at the Field of 64, and obviously we got the play-in games that will start in the next couple of days here. Which one of the teams outside of Kentucky and UT, because frankly neither one of those teams look good in the SEC tournament, and I'm sure it was a, you know, they look at it from the standpoint of, listen, the real tournament starts, you know, next week for them, which is this week, and they're putting more emphasis toward that. But beside those teams, which team out of the SEC do you give a bigger shot at going far in the tournament?
Well, I think Auburn's an obvious answer, so I'm not going to say them. And also, they have a rough draw. I kind of wouldn't be afraid to jump on the Alabama bandwagon. It's dangerous to rely on teams that rely on the outside shot a lot, but it's also if that team gets hot. Like, do you remember when VCU made the Final Four? Like, they were not a good shooting team. They shot great for 4 straight games and made a miraculous run. Alabama is a better shooting team. I'm just using them as an example. So, like, they are clearly, when they're at their best, can beat anyone. Now, their defense is obviously a huge issue. So, you know, Alabama seems to be one of those high-ceiling, low-floor teams that if they're not shooting well, they're not playing solid defense, they could get bounced early. But and it kind of goes against the, you know, don't want to jump on the team that had a really great run in the conference tournament, you know, Auburn. So I'd maybe lean a little bit more towards Alabama.
Now, what do you think of A&M? Now, they've had UT's number all season. And those two guards, but it goes to what you're saying. It's like, can you live, you know, in the turning back by shooting outside all the time? But those two guards, you know, Taylor and the other guard, these guys, when they're on, it is very hard to beat them.
Yeah. I mean, Wade Taylor's, you know, I don't think he had the year that a lot of people thought he would. But they had a strange season. You know, what midseason 4-game losing streak, they lost to Vanderbilt, and then they, you know, they seemed like they played well in the SEC tournament a lot of times recently. You know, we throw out a cliche, guards win in the NCAA tournament. Obviously, Williams is always has his teams in the NCAA tournament. So, yeah, wouldn't surprise me at all if they did well. Like you said, veteran guards, good coach. I just more concerned about their inconsistency throughout the season.
Talking to Mitch Light from The Athletic. And Mitch, let's get to, and I read Kyle Tucker's piece, which if people are out there, if you want to, you know, read a good comprehensive list of some of the guys out there that you probably don't know, he does a good job, I think, of breaking down some of these guys from several programs that are in the tournament. You're going to see them. Maybe one of them will pull a big upset and you'll know a lot more about them. But of sort of the candidate pool that you referenced there. So who among this group take away the guys that we do know, like Will Wade, who we discussed, or Chris Mack, who a lot of people are looking at, who's out there. Who among that mid-major pool, up-and-comers, intrigues you?
A couple guys. Kyle Smith, whose name's been attached to several jobs. Head coach at Washington State. One thing that I like about him, I like guys who succeed at difficult jobs. And, you know, I looked this up, and, you know, he was at Columbia, San Francisco, and Washington State. Columbia has had 2 winning Ivy League seasons since 1993, both under Kyle Smith.
That's a long time.
He had a winning record.
That's 30 years.
Yeah, 30 winning record in league play at San Francisco. Washington has had 5 winning Pac-12 seasons since 1993, 2 under Tony Bennett, obviously now at Virginia, and 3 under Kyle Smith. Like, unprecedented to have 3 straight winning Pac-12 seasons. So he's a guy that's clearly has built programs, very well-respected guy. Incidentally, Florida's coach Todd Golden was at San Francisco with Kyle Smith, took over for Kyle Smith when Smith went to Washington State, and then obviously Golden did well there. He's at Florida now. So he's an intriguing guy. Nico Medved is very well-respected. He got going at Furman. Furman plays a really entertaining style of basketball. I'm drawing a blank on his name. The head coach replaced Medved. Medved went to Drake for 1 year, and he's got Colorado State in the NCAA tournament. Josh Schertz, Indiana State, obviously, they did not make the tournament. You saw Schertz's name. I know St. Louis is after him, but I don't think that's a done deal by any stretch there. But Google Josh Schertz, and he did – I listened to a podcast with him once with Doug Gottlieb a couple weeks ago, and he's got a really interesting story. The Athletic, we wrote a good story on him, but he went to Lincoln Memorial Division II school in eastern Tennessee, and they were horrible when he got there. They got good immediately. He went 214-39 in league play. It's 13 years at Loyola. I wrote my notes LMU. I knew I was going to do that. Memorial University. And then he went to Indiana State, turned that program around. So those are some names. Bucky McMillan, obviously the coach at Stanford, former high school coach, has done well. Pat Kelsey. Now, I'm interested in your take on this, Willie. Like, Pat Kelsey is obviously a very good coach. He's got a great record. But he's been at Winthrop and College of Charleston, two teams that are consistently, like, the best, better programs in their league. So it's like, I prefer, like, the Kyle Smith, the guy who's shown he can win at difficult jobs, rather than a guy that was just able to sustain success where others have wanted that program. Quite honestly, that was, looking back, maybe that was a knock on Bryce Drew. Valparaiso at the time, now they're in the Missouri Valley, they were in the Horizon League, or forgot, maybe whatever it's called. They were, like, the best program in that league. He did a great job there, had a great record, but he sustained what previous, you know, his dad and his brother built there. So kind of rambling there, but those are some guys, some names that you'll hear a lot about.
It's a deep pool. I agree with you. It is noteworthy that Bryce Drew, since leaving Vanderbilt, has done very well at Grand Canyon. He's back in the tournament again. So that it kind of has you
back?
Going. Well, you could.
Another and I'm not taking away.
I mean, they won't. But I mean, remember, that was a Malcolm Turner in his little meteoric rise and fall as the athletic director. He did make that decision to dump Bryce Drew, pulled the plug after one awful year. And
he worked real well.
And you kind of look at it and say, well, you know, what was the – I mean, he's done well. I got to give him a lot of credit there.
Let me interject, and I don't want to – I mean, Bryce – not taking it away from Bryce Drew, there's another example. Grand Canyon's the best job by far in the WAC. They've got, like, pretty good NIL situation in that league. Look at the teams in that league. There is not there. They have a great home court advantage because they win. He has done a great job there, but it's also – clearly the best job in that league. And if you're a coach, I mean, that's what you should do. Look for the best jobs in leagues. And that's why, you know, some of those guys have great success.
All right. So let me ask you about Casey Alexander, because you and I have watched him very closely for a long, long time. And I kind of say to myself, when I look at some of these names that you're bringing up that I don't know, but I look at the track record, and from afar, you say, wow, that's impressive. You know, guy that's done really well at Colgate for a long time. You know, all of these guys that get mentioned. Yep. But then I say, well, right in your backyard, you've got a guy that has done similar things. And if you're looking from upstate New York, Casey Alexander would be a really attractive guy that would say, wow, he's won for a long time. Sometimes I feel like we look past the guy that's right on your block and knows a lot about Nashville. I don't know what Vanderbilt's thinking is there. But I know there's always been a debate, even going back to Rick Byrd and even before that, Don Meyer, way, way back, of saying, could you translate success at Belmont or Lipscomb to Vanderbilt? But that's probably the question that any mid-major coach is going to have.
Yeah, and it's fascinating. He, you know, the knock on Casey is he's never been part of a Power Five or, you know, major conference staff, never had to recruit at that level. But there are a lot of pros. You know, clearly a really good offensive coach. I mean, they're – Correct me if I'm wrong, Willie. Like his, I'm not saying the system, but the style of basketball kind of reminds me a little bit of Kevin Stallings. You know, really good offensive team.
Attention to detail, shooters.
Yeah, shooters. Sometimes didn't play great defense. They tried to play great defense. He has done a good job. That's a pretty big leap going from the OVC to Missouri Valley, and they are, you know, they made that leap pretty successfully. They were one of the better teams in the league. They had a midseason slump this year.
And injuries had something to do with that, for sure.
Yes, very intrigued by that. And I'll say, you know, again, I'm not the decision maker, and if they ask me, I would make the decision for them. But, like, he's a guy that I think in other cycles would be a stronger candidate. Now, he might be a candidate. And you make an interesting point there, and I was thinking about this yesterday. My daughter Zoe, she was looking at all these schools all over the place. She loves to travel. One day we were driving to school, her senior year of high school, and she said, Dad, I want to go to Vanderbilt. I was like, really? She goes, I don't want to not go just because it's in Nashville. Like, you know, you're supposed to go away to school. And I was thinking, like, Vanderbilt, if they like Casey Alexander, hire him. Don't not hire him because he's at Belmont and people think you're just doing the easy thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, also you look at your appreciation for Nashville, which Casey Alexander not only has coached at Belmont forever, but he grew up here. He went to Brentwood Academy. Yeah. Like, I think it would mean something, and he would look at it as a destination. This is just me thinking out loud. I don't know for sure, but no, I do think you take a long look at that. I think in this day and age of NIL and everything, I do think that brings something to the table.
Yeah, it knows the DNA of the program. Not saying he grew up, I don't know what he grew up fan, might have grew up a UT fan, no idea. But, you know, clearly understands the program. And, like, I talk to friends, you know, we all have the same opinion. Like, if they hire Casey Alexander, he's a good coach. I mean, I really do think he's a really good coach. And I would probably, I'm trying to think, I know Fran Dunphy coached at, Temple and LaSalle, but he might, Casey would set the record for coaching at three schools in the same city, three Division I schools in the same city. Maybe you can have like maybe 15 really good years here, then go over to TSU for a year or two.
Just knock it all out. Mitch, appreciate it as always. Good to talk to you, and enjoy the tournament.
All right, guys. Take care.
Mitch Light from The Athletic joining us here on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. We'll come back. Put a bow on things next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.